Amen. You may be seated. We got our marching orders. You know, that's a lot of time in the military is hurry up and wait. If you've ever been in the Army, you know what I'm talking about, or Navy or Air Force, hurry up and wait. Wait around, make sure all your gear is ready to go, your inspections, all this other stuff, training, and then all of a sudden the call goes out. And we rise up. And we move forth. And that's what we're doing as a church, right? We've got our marching orders from Christ himself. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us to be faithful soldiers as we move into battle with you leading the way, Lord. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading is from Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 11, 1 through 8. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened.
All right, please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 37 through 43. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children want to go to children's church at this time? Feel free. Thanks God for the next generation. May we be faithful in passing it on to them. Lord, thanks for this opportunity to gather in your presence and in your name to be instructed by you. And we know that your words will not return empty, Lord. Your words are truth, and you are truth. So speak to us with your truth this morning. Amen. Alrighty. All throughout the Old Testament, and even today, and throughout history, let's put it that way, there's always a remnant, a part that remains. We heard it in the lessons today, and you see it all through the Old Testament. A lot of people start to stray, but there are those that stand firm, those that are solid, those that remain. And there's always been a remnant, and there always will be. Nothing new We heard about it in Micah today, one of the Old Testament prophets. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. Those that remained faithful. I'll bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. So he's being their shepherd once again. He's gathering them in. He's going to protect them. He's going to provide for them. That's what a shepherd does. He'll even lay down his life for them. And he did. The good shepherd. Caring for them. And gathering them in. We've seen that throughout history, but most lately, I guess, in 1948, when the Jewish people have been scattered all over the world for centuries. They've been scattered. They established the nation of Israel, and they started returning from everywhere. Wow. Having something in common. Being descendants, right? In the descendants. Being those that have been faithful. And coming together and trying to establish a country. Some are coming from, you know, Russian Jews. Some are German Jews that survived. Other from other places, from all over. Reestablishing the Hebrew language. And immediately coming under attack. Five nations surrounded them. You got this fledgling nation. They're not even really organized yet. And all of a sudden, all their neighbors, all these Arabs who just basically hate them, let's put it out there, come and try to wipe them off the face of the earth. Try to knock them out. And somehow, not having even the time really to come together and organize the military, they defeated the enemy. I would say they weren't fighting alone. I would say God was fighting with them. And yeah, it just went against all odds that they did this. It's crazy. And that they had maintained their identity for centuries. If you look in history, you're going to see once a nation is conquered, usually the culture is wiped out within 3 to 5 generations. That's it. They've been brought into the new culture that the winners have established there, as has happened many, many, many times throughout history. Look at it. Someone's country gets taken over, and then they switch the people over to their beliefs, etc. Already, somehow, the Jews, although scattered, the diaspora, had maintained their culture, had maintained their beliefs for centuries. And when they come back together, they all have this thing in common. They all have the same beliefs. They all have the same ancestry, of course, as well. But it had survived. Where it wouldn't be possible, you know, 3 to 5 generations, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of years. So coming back together under the protection of God. His protection was then shown again in 1967 during the Six-Day War, where Egypt and Syria sought to wipe them off the face of the map. And Israel bombed Egypt's Air Force while still on the ground and pretty much ended it right there. In the original one, I forgot to mention the 5 countries against them were Egypt, Jordan, Israel, Syria, and Lebanon. So if you look on a map, they're basically surrounded and being hit from all sides as a nation that's just getting its start. Wow. 1973 again, got on their side. And then more recently, hundreds and hundreds of rockets launched from Iran against them and inconsequential damage for some reason. How's that work, huh? God with them once again. They are the remnant, okay? And we are remnant as well, especially in today's society and culture, but we'll get to that, right? But he says, continues, Micah does, and again prophesying. Now he starts prophesying of Jesus. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. So talk about the remnant being led by Jesus. Alrighty. So this prophecy of Jesus and also of those that will remain faithful to the end. And he is going to guide them. He is going to lead them. He is going to be there for them and with them. Alrighty. As I was doing a little additional reading on remnants, long after I had established the readings for today, I had established them back on Monday. But yesterday, as I'm reading through it, I come across Zephaniah 3. And I'm thinking, wow, I should use them. That is one of the readings. It's incredible. Again, talking about a remnant, the faithful few that will survive. And it's not a large portion. Every time there's a remnant, it's just that. Making a quilt, you got the little scraps, the little remnants behind, right? Most of it went the other way, but these few remain. And narrow is the way, and few are those that find it, right? We know that. And sometimes it's like a third of the nation did not turn to evil, they survived. Other times it's like a tenth, but it's always a small portion that remains faithful. So what God says then in Zephaniah 3, again, Old Testament prophecy, talking about the way that the world had gone departing from the way of God, and a small remnant follow the right way, the correct way, while everybody else is going off other paths, establishing their own beliefs. You'll hear it here. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. So this large group of people is going off on their own, not trusting in God, not accepting correction. Okay? Her officials, those leaders, are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. They're taking everything for themselves, leaving nothing for others, right? Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. That's serious. Profaning the sanctuary, leading others astray with false beliefs. They do violence to the law. So these people are dead set against going away God's ways. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning, he dispenses his justice. And every new day does not fall, yet the unrighteous know no shame. Alrighty. Skipping down to the 7. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Giving him second chances, right? Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her. So even given the second chance, it says, they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. Alrighty. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them. And this will happen on the day of judgment. All my fierce anger, the whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. Alrighty, this should be a wake-up call to people. But again, a lot don't take this seriously. We do. We're going to be the remnant. We're going to stand faithful. Skipping down to 11. Alrighty, on that day, he's talking to the remnant, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs, on that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Pride is a sin. And people being proud of their pride is like a double whammy, even more of a sin. God takes that seriously. I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Alrighty. But I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of the Lord. Okay, here we got the small remnant shining through here. I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant, right there, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. God watching over them. No one, they have nothing to fear. Even though the whole world come against you, you have nothing to fear if you're on God's side. Even if you give your life physically, your future is secure eternally. We have nothing to fear. All right, skipping down to 17 to save a little time here. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He'll take great delight in you. He'll quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. That's humbling. Don't feel like I deserve that. The Lord taking great delight in me, quieting me with his love, and rejoicing over me with singing. But that's the nature of our God. For to those that are faithful, to that remnant, he's going to protect them. He's going to love them. He's going to be there with them. At that time, I'll gather you. At that time, I'll bring you home. I'll give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth, and when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes. So, yeah, the remnant is a small part, outnumbered, standing firm for what is right, and God then coming through in a big way and just wrapping his arms around them, protecting them, holding them, loving them, making sure that they're secure. It's wonderful stuff. Wonderful promises. I pray that the remnant would grow, that more and more people would see the truth, know the truth, maybe be free by the truth, to follow this truth, to have an eternally secure future, to take this seriously and not be proud about sinning. I mean, sinning is bad enough. Pride is bad enough, but being proud about sinning, that's really bad. So we need to stand firm as a remnant, right? We need to, like I said last week, in a loving way to speak the truth, to try to gather some people in, to gather, increase the size of the remnant. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that it also come to repentance. And again, the repentance is the turning. You realize you're going the wrong way. You confess to God, you turn back to the right way. Get back on the right path. Because He's there waiting. And again, if you've strayed a long, long, long ways down that bad path, you don't have to go a long, long, long ways back. He's going to meet you where you are immediately if you truly repent. All right, even though we know this is coming, even though we know there's other members of the remnant out there, and it's fun when you meet them. You meet someone, maybe you're traveling in a different town or city, and all of a sudden you just start connecting on Scripture and on your belief, and you just, yeah, all right, you are a brother or sister that I've never met before. This is great. Because the remnant is scattered. We are everywhere, which is to our benefit, because now we can bring up others everywhere as well. But sometimes you feel like you're the only one. And that's what we heard in Romans today. God does not reject His people, right? He protects them. And that's what it started out with. Did God reject His people? By no means. Even though at times it might seem like it. God did not reject His people whom He foreknew. All right, don't you know what the Scripture says in the passage about Elijah? Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. The worshipers of Baal had basically taken over the country. He is standing strong, and he feels like he's the last one. Because everywhere he looks, he just sees people sinning and being proud of it. It's wrong. How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, so they are deliberately working against God here. They, not just accidentally, but deliberately killing those that stand for God and tearing down the altars to God. What has been established, being torn down. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Felt like he was all alone, like he's the only one left, but he wasn't. He wasn't. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Have not bowed to the unbeliefs, to the things that were leading people astray. They stood firm, did not bow a knee to Baal. So too at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Chosen by grace. And for that, we ought to be thankful that God, through His grace, has chosen the remnant. It's not something we can earn, once again, the grace of God. You can't be good enough, but Jesus was. And by accepting Him, you experience God's grace, His unmerited favor. We don't earn it, but living under God's favor. And things start to go really well, right? And if by grace, and it is no longer by works, again, we cannot earn it. If it were grace, would no longer be grace. So it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. He sees those that are turning to Him. He's going to reward them. He's going to bring His grace. He's going to bring His protection. He's going to bring His provision. But not everybody sees this. Not everybody takes it seriously. Not everybody follows it. As it follows here, what then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The remnant did. The others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so they could not see, and ears so they could not hear to this very day. Now that part's a little puzzling. We sort of dissected that in Bible study, and I looked into it more. God giving them a spirit of stupor and eyes that could not see? Well, basically, what it's saying is, you made your choices. Now you have to live with the consequences. People have the right to choose God, to follow Him, or they can choose the other way. And for these people that have done that, he says, they say you've made your choices, now you're going to live with the consequences. Romans 1:24, God gave them over to their sinful desires. He gave them every chance, but they kept on deliberately sinning against Him. Not accidentally. We all accidentally sin. Okay, it happens. And sometimes maybe a little deliberately, but we are no longer living a life that is in opposition to God, and knowingly, and yeah, we don't do that anymore. Some of us have been down different roads, but we have turned to the one right road, and we no longer live deliberately in opposition to God, and his way. That's what I was trying to say, live deliberately in opposition to him and his way. And that would be, you know, taking pride in your own way, not his ways. So this unbelief, again, is nothing new. Again, a lot of people follow that unbelief, unfortunately. A small remnant will remain and does remain. The gospel followed it up as well. All right, Jesus, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. What does it take to make you believe? Many people did believe because of the signs they saw. I mean, if I saw miracles like that, the blind seeing, the lame jumping up and walking and running and dancing with muscles that have been atrophied for decades, I can't explain that any other way. Walking on water, multiplying food, I mean, that would make almost anybody believe, right? But yet they didn't. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Now, we don't get to see the big major miracles. Maybe we see some small ones. Maybe you've been blessed to see a really huge miracle, and I would love to see that. To see, you know, sight restored, you know, the deaf be able to hear, and someone that has not walked for decades all of a sudden able to run around without physical therapy and months of making small amounts of progress. It's just truly incredible. But that's comforting what he says in John 20:29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The remnant who has not seen maybe the big miracles but still believes and is faithful. Already again, people reject him and God says, you made your choices, here's the consequences, blind their eyes, deaden their hearts, quoting Isaiah, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. If they did turn, I would heal them. Again, God being faithful, the God of second chances. Alrighty. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but they would not profess it. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise from men more than the praise from God. Ultimately, we must answer to God, not man. And these people are more concerned about what others thought than what God did. Yeah. Who are we going to stand up for? Who are we going to answer to? God. Even against, if the whole society and culture is going the other way, we're going to stand firm, we're going to be faithful. Sometimes you might be ridiculed. Sometimes you might be called names. You're going to get peer pressure. You know, in various ways. I mean, nowadays through the media and everything else, they pressure you. And people, we're not going to fear what people think. We're not in junior high anymore, okay, where peer pressure is a big thing. It's still out there, absolutely. But no, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to be a part of that remnant, no matter what everybody else is saying and doing. And I pray that they will realize the error of their ways. I pray that they will see the truth, know the truth, and be set free by the truth. But they're so set in their ways that God just gave them over to their sin. Not just in biblical times, but today as well. So we need to seek and save the lost. It's part of what our calling is. We are called to seek and save the lost as Jesus did. If we find people to bring them in, absolutely. Some are going to be so hardened they're going to say no thanks, but again, they've made their choices, unfortunately. Are they beyond help? No. God can do anything. He can turn hearts towards him. There's many, many examples and testimonies out there, and we pray that would happen. And if God, if you can use us in this process in any way, shape, or form to bring your word, to bring your presence, to bring your love to others, we open ourselves up, Lord, that you would use us for these purposes. We want to see everyone turn to you. We want to see everyone have hope, confidence, peace, and love in this world and eternal assurance of the next. So God, if you can use us in that way, give us the right words. Give us the right actions. Help us to love one another in the right way. Not to condemn others, Lord, but to bring them the truth, to show them the truth. And let us live in the truth as an example as we do so, Lord. Being faithful to you, but loving to others. Because it's not your will that any should perish. So be faithful and be the remnant. Stand firm. Amen.